Good morning, all. I'd like to call the meeting of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission to order. We're June 14th in lovely Port Angeles. It looks like the sun's going to come out again soon, so we got a crowd building. Look forward to a couple of days of important issues, and we'll start off this morning with a commissioner discussions. Anybody's hand go up? Commissioner Thorburn.
We have a wolf committee, and it has met, and I haven't yet given a report, which we like to do when we the subcommittees meet. However, we are having a wolf committee meeting at noon today, so I would suggest that I hold off until tomorrow's commissioner discussion, and I'll talk about both with the wolf committee members. So, and then what I've asked Tammy to put up on the screen, I also have shared with the commission that I participated in the Northern Pike control surveillance and control activities in the first week of May on Lake Roosevelt. And I just wanted to, that was it. I just wanted to share. I mentioned a little bit about what we did. A number of partners are trying to control these animals that have shown up in Lake Roosevelt, because the concern is they'll be over our two dams, the Grand Coulee and Chief Joseph, and then into our salmon. And one of the things that I learned as we caught these animals is that they really like salmonids. We checked their stomach contents, and a lot of the contents were salmonids. So there's real concern about them moving along in Lake Roosevelt. The Colvilles got one at the Sandpoil mouth this year. And that's of real concern, because they're doing red band trout rehabilitation and restoration in that water system, and to have the pike there is a concern that it's going to impact and detract from that program. This species is going to come before the commission, I think, in the next few months. Currently, it's considered a level 3 invasive species, out of, I think, 5 levels, and it needs to be a level 1 or level 2 invasive species in order to declare an invasive species emergency. And we want to be able to do that when it gets over the dam. And I say when, because it's expected that it will. And so we'll be asked for that action, I think, in the very near future, because of the concern. I did feel a little bit better sort of watching the activity. We're not seeing so many of this size fish, and most of the northern pike that we got in the gillnets that I was working with were much smaller than this. This was a gravid female. She was going to make lots of young before we took her. She was full of roe. They mature very early and reproduce. They have long lives, so controlling them is a challenge. But we learned a lot on the Ponderay River working with the Kalispells, and that work is kind of being taken in the Spokanes and the Colvilles, and we are working on the control in Lake Roosevelt and using lessons learned, and have seen some impact in terms of the age structure. So anyway, that's a challenge that we're going to be looking at.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Anyone else? Commissioner Baker.
We have to do everything we do in openly and transparently, so you guys get to be part of our hiring a new executive assistant. Our executive assistant, Tammy, has taken what's apparently an upgrade to go to work for the director, Director Suswin. So we interviewed about 100 people who applied for her job. We narrowed it down. No, we got 100 applications. We interviewed 7. We have a recommended applicant who has board and commission experience. She currently works in a natural resources field. We were all impressed by her. So I think just to short circuit this, I would like to move that we offer the position of commission executive assistant to applicant number 1 at a salary of $57,000 a year. There is some wiggle room with that. We will let Tammy purvey that offer and let us know whether it's accepted. Are there any
seconds? We have a motion to and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. I just want to take a minute and thank a really concerted effort by particularly Tammy and Commissioner Baker on wading through the stack of applicants and kind of condensing it down. And our counsel, Mr. Freymeyer, joined me and the two ladies in and doing the interviews, et cetera. And it was a good group. Asked good questions. I think we have a good person online, and hopefully we'll hear back soon today. Thank you. Any other commissioner discussions? Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to provide an update to the commission on where things stand with the upcoming process of the Joint State Columbia River Policy Review Committee, the PRC. That meeting had been scheduled for this past June 5th, was canceled at the request of Oregon, who cited substantial change of seats on their commission that is occurring at this time. The Oregon commissioner situation is one where they have 7 seats as opposed to our 9.
I'm sorry, Tammy.
One of theirs had been vacant, as is currently the case in our commission, and one had termed out for quite some time, but the seated commissioner was generously agreeing to stay on after being termed out. 2 other seats expire June 30th, thus bringing the total of 4 seats being termed out of their 7 seats. The Oregon governor also announced that one commissioner whose term ends at the end of August would not be reappointed, bringing the total turnover of seats to 5 of their 7. The governor appointed 5 new commissioners, 4 of which have been confirmed by the Oregon Senate, and the final seat is expected to be filled by the end of the summer. So it's quite an upheaval for our sister commission to the south, including the need to replace all 3 of the PRC members. While they are interested in moving forward with a joint state policy that achieves our original goal of regulatory and policy concurrency on the Columbia River, they did not feel comfortable appointing their new PRC members at their June 6th meeting. The solution, after some discussion with the 2 directors, the 2 commission chairs, and consulting with our PRC members here at the front table, is as follows. The PRC meetings are to resume with a meeting August 1st towards a goal of reaching a recommendation to both commissions by November of 2019. No appointments to the PRC from Oregon should be expected in the immediate time frame, and the upcoming PRC meeting should be viewed as an opportunity for all Oregon commissioners to gain as much understanding as possible about Columbia River fishery issues, particularly the 4 newly appointed commissioners and the additional new commissioner expected to be named at some point over the summer. The August PRC meeting will include a significant portion of the agenda dedicated to a review of the current process considering joint state concurrency on fishery policy issues and progress to date in a workshop atmosphere. All Oregon commissioners, including any in a transitional appointment situation, will be asked to have been asked and will be asked if they aren't actually seated yet, to attend under notice of a full Oregon Commission meeting and be encouraged to participate in the discussions as de facto PRC members. All Washington commissioners who are not on the PRC are encouraged to attend this meeting, and as the PRC meetings proceed, commissioners from both states are encouraged to attend as many meetings as possible. Lastly, a possible scheduling rub has been identified that could conceivably move the date up to July 31st, but this remains to be explored, and at this point in time, we're asking people to preserve August 1st on their calendars. And Mr. Chairman, I'd be glad to answer any questions on that.
Thank you, Commissioner McIsaac. Are there any other Commissioner Holzmiller down on the far end?
There again, this one is a project that's really near and dear to my heart. It's in my little part of the world in southeastern Washington. The Grand Ronde River that flows through that part of the world is a very good steelheading river, to say the least. To the upper end of the river, there's good access down Highway 129. On the lower end, they can come up from the Snake River and get to it. The center section is pretty primitive county road. It goes down there with not a whole lot of facilities down there. And the department's pretty major landowner, so this past winter, they've been doing a bunch of work down there to improve their access roads. And there's one spot in there again, from the upper reach, there's a good stretch, good day float, and they can get down on the Shoemaker there. And so it's very popular, just a steady stream of drift boats all fall along going there. And where they pick the boats out is a place called Snyder Bar. There's a really good camping area there, but it's just been bare ground. So the department's doing some work there. And I have to be really, really careful because there's still some I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed. Well, anyway, while they were working on this, the uppermost portion of this ground, lo and behold, wasn't theirs. Gentleman named Larry Cassidy owned the ground. And so when they approached him about it, seeing if they could buy it from him, he said, no, but I'll give it to you. And it's a huge deal in our part of the world. So for those of you that may or may not know Larry, to say that every sportsman and angler in the state of Washington are indebted to the man is probably an understatement. He served on this commission. He was on the BPA. He was on Pacific, and Larry could help me out. I mean, the Pacific Salmon Commission. The man has basically spent his entire adult life working for fish and game issues. Larry donating this ground is no surprise to me, knowing the man. It's there again. He owns a big chunk of dirt down there, so an acre and an eighth, or an acre, 1.8 acres off his place isn't that big a deal. But yeah, if somebody wanted to hold it hostage, they could have damn certainly held it hostage. He did the right thing, as he's done all his entire life. There again, this is a work in progress. It isn't all signed, sealed, but it's going to happen. And I guess what I'm asking the commission to indulge me, and when we get this all done, if maybe we could do a kiosk there acknowledging Larry's lifetime, what he's done, and the donation of the ground, because it is, it's just a natural, it's in a kind of a nice back eddy. High water doesn't screw it up. There's nothing. It just naturally works for a great takeout or put in for rafts and drift boats. So that's why I'm asking.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Do we have any history of naming? Could there be Larry's name on this access area to honor him.
It seems to me that we've done something in the past in different areas. I'm sure we have on some wildlife areas and so on, but I don't have nothing jumps right out at me, but I think we should do that. I've known the man for a long time, and he makes stuff happen. And yes, Commissioner Graybill.
Thank you, Commissioner Thornburn. That's a great idea, and we could check in with the department in Region 2 because we built a public access for drift boats on the Mattow River, and we dedicated that to Irv Connor, who was one of the original members of an ad hoc committee that gave birth to the endorsement. And so there is a plaque at that site that in memoriam for his efforts. So I think there is some history, and we could help share the process with you in Region 2.
Mr. Smith.
On that vein, along the Nooksack, there's several kiosks that are really nicely done, and they were Eagle Scout projects. So that might be an avenue by which to engage the public again. But that's something that I know throughout the state I've seen three or four different Eagle Scout kiosks.
It appears to me that the commission wants to do something for Mr. Cassidy. I don't know what the next protocol is or how we do it, but I think it's fair to say that we will do so and look for some feedback from staff.
Yeah, we can do that, and take this direction to do that, and we'll put together a proposal and let you know how we would show that.
Very good.
Commitment.
Okay, thank you, Director. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just add my voice to support for doing something here. Former Commissioner Cassidy is a precursor of ours and is just a very fine gentleman who has a long track record of dedication to the resource. I had the same idea of the naming. I guess it's Snyder Bar or something like that. So the name, as opposed to a kiosk, something needs to be really done here to recognize this gentleman who's dedicated so much of his life to the same things we're trying to achieve. So,
Larry, I wasn't thinking either or. I was thinking naming and a kiosk.
Perfect. All right. Okay. Commissioner Hosemiller.
And Mr. Cassidy is a very humble man because I had called him up and had a chat with him over this.
Oh, yeah.
And there again, no, he kept telling me it's Snyder Bar. Well, we'll discuss it. But if nothing else, at the very least, we could, make it the Cassidy Boat Launch or something like that. But I really do. I want to make certain that we follow through on this because for our part of the world, this is huge. Because, it could have turned really ugly really quickly if he wanted to. And, no, he did the right thing. So thank you for this.
Thank you. Do we have any additional commissioner discussions? Seeing none, I'll turn to Commissioner Thornburn for meeting minute approval. Commissioner Thornburn.
I move to approve the May 31st, 2019 Washington Fish and Wildlife teleconference minutes as submitted.
Do we have a
second?
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioner Thornburn. We're now down to committee reports, if available. I think we have two of them. And for fear of losing my voice before I'm done here tomorrow, I'm gonna have Commissioner Kehoe do the, it feels like it's leaving, the Fish Committee report. Commissioner Kehoe.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Happy to go over the Fish Committee meeting. We had three items on the agenda. The first was the Willapa Bay Comprehensive Review. We had Chad Herring come and provide us a kind of a working outline of what the what the review will look like. And in a nutshell, it's going to follow closely the policy itself and some of the headings of the policy. So, and then Chad also presented us with a timeline of the policy moving forward with dates and follow-up meetings with the Fish Committee and also with the public, the idea of sharing drafts of the review with the public and get sign-off on it. And then ultimately, the policy revisions, if any, the decision on that would take place at the Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting in February of 2020. So that's kind of the proposal right now. We also had an update on the hatchery reform policy review. Ron Warren came to our meeting and provided us an update on that, kind of the process moving forward. Our engagement with the Washington Science Foundation and their undertaking of the science review of the science underlying the hatchery reform policy. So I've got an update on that. And then the third topic that we discussed was the Skagit catch and release budget. And Nate Pamplin gave us an update on that. This was largely the result of discussions at the May 31st Fish and Wildlife conference call where this item was discussed. There was a real desire to keep this going despite some of the budget constraints that were funding. So Nate made the recommendation, and I think we're going to hear more of this on Saturday. But so I'll leave it for that. And but just to say that we did get a briefing on kind of what the proposal is, and stay tuned. If you're around on Saturday, you can hear more from Nate. So and then we did talk a little bit about comprehensive Columbia River Policy Review, and Commissioner McIsaac already touched on that. So did I leave anything out, gentlemen? Anybody else? Okay. Thank you.
Very well, Bob. Thank you very much. All right. Including agenda item one, we'll move into item
two. Wildlife.
Oh, pardon me. I forgot about this morning's early meeting. Commissioner Thorburn.
So I will start, and if the members of the committee want to add anything. We had four agenda topics. The Greater Sagegrass status report, hunting a contest, actually focusing on a coyote hunting contest, non-toxic ammunition, and it was listed as non-toxic shock, but shot, but corrected to non-toxic ammunition. And then just a couple minutes, we've got several wildlife items on the agenda today, and we talked, it just kind of summarized what those were. Regarding greater sagegrass, this is currently a state threatened species. It is scheduled for a periodic status report. We actually reviewed it about 4 years ago, so it's coming up and will be on the agenda for the commission in early 2021. The reason that it was on our committee agenda is that it's not doing very well population-wise in the state, despite having a recovery plan in place for almost 20 years and a lot of both mitigation and recovery actions surrounding the species. We're kind of losing ground and actually have almost reached the total population number that would require uplisting, or the recovery plan says would trigger uplisting. We're almost to that number. So we talked about the periodic status review and provided some guidance that the staff, as we have in several of our management plans, look at what the direction is in the recovery plan, but also overall what's going on with the population. There are four distinct groups of sage-grouse surviving in Washington right now. We're probably going to lose three of those. Just have one population remaining. We kind of want the staff to take that into account as they're doing the periodic status review and come to the commission eventually with a listing recommendation, whether we maintain it as threatened or uplist it to endangered. So that was the discussion. The second discussion about hunting contests is revolving around the question of coyote derbies. Looking at actions that are going on in other states regarding regulation of these hunting contests, and had that discussion and where Washington is currently. Coyotes are non-game species. What's their
predator?
Unclassified, yeah. They are hunted year-round in Washington. The requirement is that you have a hunting license. There are contests that occur periodically, and the department currently, by statute, we regulate hunting contests. So there's discussion about there was discussion about our role in regulating these contests, and the direction that we've left is staff is going to work with the Attorney General's office to better understand our authorities in terms of regulating these contests, that will be coming back to our committee for further discussion. On the question of non-toxic ammunition, taking a look at the department's role in sort of modeling more use of non-toxic ammunition in the hunting community and on our shooting ranges. This is kind of a preliminary discussion. We looked at the department's work in the use of non-toxic ammunition. Currently, it is restricted for certain kinds of bird hunting. We look at it as both a public health concern for humans as well as a wildlife population concern, that I just talked about how more and more non-toxic ammunition is becoming available, and this would be an opportunity to remove a toxic substance that we continue to pour into the environment through ammunition, and how we should sort of lead the way. But this is a preliminary discussion, and really not a whole lot of direction was provided. And then the final, we will hear a number of wildlife program actions, didn't have much discussion about that other than the summary. Anybody want to add anything? Who was there?
Okay. Does that conclude your report?
It does.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Thorburn.